Roppongi, Roppongi, Roppongi lights, Roppongi vice. What's up, everyone? Quentin Moody from Psychology is Dead, taking up the new school side this week. In the match I selected was Shuji Ishikawa versus Daisuke Sekimoto from March 31st, 2015. The reason why I picked this match is because at the time in 2015, as the year wrapped up, I thought it was one of the top 10, maybe top 5 matches of the year, with no question. But as a year has gone on, actually almost 2 years since this match has happened, I've thought this maybe would be top 3, even top 2, if I redid my 2015 match of the year list. I've just appreciated it more and more, and it's a match I just don't get tired of watching. It's also a match that got me fully invested in the Big Japan product. It wasn't my introduction to the product, but it's the match that made me want to commit and fully invest to wanting to follow this promotion any way I could. And it's been a good 2 years while trying to watch everything that's happened in Big Japan. And this match was the catalyst to making me care and be invested in where the promotion goes in the future.
Chad Campbell here, representing the old school once again. This week I was tasked by Quentin to watch Shuji Ishikawa versus Daisuke Sekimoto from Big Japan Pro Wrestling, March 31st, 2015. It's tough these days when everyone has an artificial folder that they're right on the hot takes on. To admit you're wrong, but I will say that Shuji Ishikawa is someone that I was definitively wrong about. Even last year when people still kept propping him up as a Wrestler of the Year candidate, midway through last year, I was still very iffy and apprehensive about that. I kind of just saw him as this big oaf with stiffness as his main thing that he brings to the table and not a whole lot of psychology. But then as I kept watching more and more of him, I saw some of the nuances that he brought to each of his matches and really became a big fan of the guy, to where if you look at the kind of strong style type wrestlers in Japan now, including the people in the Never division of New Japan, and that would include somebody like Shibata, I have Ishikawa ahead of him. Absolutely love him. I kind of compare him to the Hound in Game of Thrones, that type of character vibe. So this was a match in 2015 that I know got a good bit of Match of the Year buzz. It finished very well on the Voices of Wrestling year-end poll. And I probably watched it right around when it happened, but just kind of, it was at a weird time frame where I wasn't in the mood for it, and I didn't remember any of it when I watched it now. And like I said, at that point in time, I wasn't the hugest Ishikawa fan. I'm still not the biggest Sekimoto fan, but he's someone that also has became more tolerable. And I really love the Strong BJ versus Twin Towers tags that we've got between the four guys and their great series in All Japan and Big Japan. So I was looking forward to rewatching this. And I will say that while this match wouldn't have made my top 10 of 2015, if I'd have been as big a fan of it then, I still thought this was a great match, and it kind of overcame some of the stuff that's never going to be my favorite type of things in wrestling. This does have a one count kick out that I thought was executed not too great, and it did have one of those Hulk up, no sell German suplexes, back suplexes spots, which I actually did think was executed well. The thing that I think I enjoyed most about watching this match again compared to the first time I watched it was this time I was really able to see how well Ishikawa positioned himself as the monster and how that built up babyface heat for Sekimoto throughout the match, and it really became a kind of overcoming the odds story at the end. Ishikawa starts that right at the beginning where he's very stiff, very, you know, not, of course not traditionally American heelish, but pretty aggressive, going to the outside, slamming Sakimoto face first into the post, really uses his body weight on a camel clutch, which that just seems like a throwaway move, but if you pay attention to how much he's really kind of wrenching in the camel clutch, putting his entire body weight on Sakimoto, is a lot more impressive. And that really fed into Sakimoto's comeback to make it feel like he was really taking the best that Ishikawa could dish out at him and still firing back, which was a pretty incredible story and one that I enjoyed greatly. I thought Sakimoto, when he got in the half crab, again, he was really wrenching on it. All his suplex and German suplexes looked brutal. He even bloodies up Ishikawa's mouth a little bit to get over the stiffness. So overall, this is kind of in the upper tier and about the peak of those type of strong style, never type matches for me. That style, again, has a little quirks, such as some no-sell spots and some kick-out spots, no focus on limbs and stuff like that, that personally detract a little bit and what I look for in a quote-unquote perfect wrestling match. But as far as this genre and as far as this style, I thought this was a great match, one to seek out, and really helps build the case for Ishikawa and his career overall. The match I selected for Quentin was Riki Choshu versus Yoshiaki Fujiwara from June the 9th, 1987. This was a match that finished really well on the Death Valley Driver New Japan 80s vote. And it's a match that I was very interested to see kind of with the new school generation, what their reaction to this type of match was. Because it's not necessarily a match focused on moves at all. It's more heat and kind of the character of these two guys. And also, I was interested to see how Quentin would react coming in cold, because this was part of the UWF versus New Japan feud. But kind of coming into cold to that instead of watching it throughout, like with the Death Valley Driver 80 set, you were able to watch all the matches leading up to this, to build up to this type of match where it felt more epic in scope. So I was interested for someone kind of coming in cold and just watching this as a standalone match, what their thoughts were.
The match selected for me was Riki Choshu versus Yoshiaki Fujiwara from June 9th, 1987. This was an interesting pick because it's two guys that I actually like a lot, but I haven't seen this match, which shame on me from my end because I should have sought this out earlier. Riki Choshu was the guy that I've always enjoyed a lot, and maybe even enjoyed more than most people. He's a very engaging and compelling personality, and that always lends itself perfectly to his matches. Fujiwara is a guy that I've always liked watching, but I've always respected him more for his contributions than I've thought of him, like, you know, highly as a performer, if that makes sense. Not saying he's bad, but his influence and contributions to professional wrestling and to the shoot style as a whole made him more interesting to me as an influencer than a performer. But this match made me want to see a guy more Fujiwara as a performer because he was very, very amazing here, actually. The match starts with an ambush. Fujiwara attacks Choshu before they even get into the ring, attacking him on the ramp. He bloodies Choshu up. And this was, I wasn't expecting this because Choshu, in most of the stuff I've seen from him, he isn't the one being vulnerable. He's the one dominating. He's the dominant personality. He's the alpha male. So to see him in a vulnerable position is very intriguing to me. And I thought he did a good job being vulnerable but not seeming like he was weak. Fujiwara, man, I did not expect him to be so over. This crowd was fully behind Fujiwara, and that kind of took me by surprise. And every time Choshu would try to, get some momentum going. Fujiwara will cut him off with an armbar and the crowd would explode. This is a very simple match, actually. There isn't a lot of moves, per se, but it's a lot of engaging things. Fujiwara constantly doing headbutts, choking Choshu while he's in the ropes, or putting him in an armbar, and Choshu just lariating Fujiwara in the face to get some space and try to get himself some time. I thought was very good. Fujiwara's facial expressions are absolutely excellent here. He's kind of smarmy and mischievous, and it conflicts with how well the crowd is reacting to him, but I just ate it up, man. I thought Fujiwara in the crowd made this match what it was. The match takes a turn. Choshu and Fujiwara go outside, and Choshu pounds Fujiwara's head on the ring apron. And Choshu had already bled earlier in the match, but Fujiwara is just leaking blood. It caught me by surprise because I was not expecting that much blood. And Fujiwara's face is just an absolute mess. And this is when Choshu starts to take control of the match. He just lariats Fujiwara in the face. Fujiwara keeps getting up. He's doing wobbly leg selling, which is something that I always pop for. And this was Choshu turning the tables and not letting up on this guy. And it surprised me with the finish because they went with a knockout finish instead of Choshu getting the pin or making him submit with the Scorpion Deathlock. And I thought that was a very interesting touch that elevated the match for me. Fujiwara trying to get up, but he just couldn't. And it wasn't like a WWE knockout tease where he gets up and then, you know, falls. It's Fujiwara's crawling and he just couldn't get up. He had nothing left. He is leaking ridiculous amounts of blood and he had nothing left in his body to give. It's a short match, very violent. Only strikes are used really besides Fujiwara busting out the armbar a few times. But it's punches, headbutts, and a lot of violence and hatred. And it's compact to about 12 minutes, 13 minutes. Well worth anyone's time who hasn't seen this before. It reminded me why I like Ricky Choshu, but it made me realize that I need to watch even more Fujiwara. And it made me kind of miss that era of New Japan where I know the 80s is a lot of people's New Japan, favorite New Japan era. I've seen it. I haven't seen too much of it, but I always love what I've seen. And this may have been the kick in the ass I needed to fully invest into watching more of the 80s New Japan style.